Thank you, Pastor Self, and also Crystal. Appreciate that so much. Turn your Bibles again, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10. 1 Corinthians, chapter 10. You know, if a man goes hunting, he can either use a rifle or a shotgun. He's out in the field and he sees a pack of animals that he is wanting to get, and they all gather together in one place. If he uses a rifle, he can only get one of them. If he uses a shotgun, he possibly can hit all of them. There's a certain message your pastor can preach and may apply to two or three of us, but there's certain topics he can preach and apply to all of us. So this morning I want to shoot with a shotgun. I want to preach a message that applies to all of us. It's called temptation. All of us struggle at times with temptation. And before we get into that, I want to give you some quotes I found about temptation. Some of them are serious, some of them are funny. The first one here, they're about temptation, says, temptations, unlike opportunities, will always give you a second chance. How true that is. What makes resisting temptation difficult for many people is they don't want to discourage it completely. Many Christians like temptation, like to toy with it a little bit. Most people who flee temptation usually leave a forwarding address. I like that one. The last one I like, it says, many of us who fail temptation start off like Christ and say, get thee behind me, Satan, and push. That's why we always add the word push, where Christ is a little different. But anyway, I'd like to look at temptation. This morning we're talking about understanding temptation. In fact, next week is revival. When I began to prepare this message, I realized there was too much to cover in one service. So next 2 weeks from today, we'll talk about how to conquer temptation. So today, we're talking about understanding temptation. 2 weeks from today, we'll talk about how to conquer temptation. Hope you plan on joining us then, too. But first of all, look at the definition of temptation. What is temptation? First of all, letter A, temptation is not sin. Temptation is not sin. We know that because Jesus Christ was tempted. The Bible said, in fact, the book of Matthew and the book of Luke, both of them, it said he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. So he was tempted. Though he never sinned, he was tempted. So temptation is not sin. Hebrews 4:15 says this about Christ. For we have not a high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So temptation is not sin because Christ was tempted himself. Next, temptation is the enticement to sin. Temptation is the enticement to sin. It's a solicitation to do evil. Many of you know the Lord's Prayer, and one of the verses in that, Matthew 6:13, it said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The idea is, Lord, as you lead me through life, please don't lead me to a place where I might be tempted. And if I am tempted, deliver me from evil. Temptation, the word means an enticement to sin, whether arising from desires from within or from circumstances without, or all tempted. So temptation is not sin, but playing with temptation can lead to sin. In rest of the psalm we sang, it says, yield not to temptation, for yielding is what? Is sin. So temptation, though you're tempted, doesn't mean you're evil, doesn't mean you're sinful. It just means you're human. Next, we saw the definition. Now look at the source of temptation. Where does temptation come from? First of all, you need to understand very clear, temptation does not come from God. Temptation does not come from God. Look in James chapter 1, please. Keep your finger in Corinthians. We're coming back. James chapter 1, please. James 1. Near the back of your Bible, right after Hebrews, right before Peter, James chapter 1. Temptation does not come from God. God does not tempt us to do evil. James 1, in verse 13, please. James 1:13. As you turn, I hope that you'll use the insert in your bulletin. It's an outline for message day. The answers to that are on the screen. Hope you'll fill those in and take those home and go back over it with you sometime this week. The source of temptation, does not come from God. James 1:13, it says, let no man say when he's tempted that I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. So when you're tempted, you say, God did that. No, my friend, God did not do that. God does not be tempted, cannot be tempted, and neither does he tempt any man. So temptation does not come from God. He's not the source, in other words. But the source is, there's three sources. Go with me now to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, please. Let go of James. Go to Ephesians 2. There's three different sources where temptation comes from. Ephesians. Ephesians 2, please. Ephesians 2. In fact, in verse 2, there's three words I'd like for you to underline or circle. At least take a mental note. And each one of these are the source of our temptation. Ephesians 2, verse 2. Paul speaking to believers in their life before they were saved. Verse 2, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this, circle that, world. Circle the word world. And he goes on to say, according to the prince, circle the word prince, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation time past in the lust of our flesh. Circle the word flesh. Circle the word world, the word prince, and the word flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So the first place temptation comes from, it comes from the world in which we live. Temptation comes from the world. It's the word in time past, you walk according to the course of this world. Now, the word world is used three different ways in the Bible. It's used, first of all, the planet in which we live, the earth. That's the world. It's not talking about that. The second one is about humanity, for God so loved the world. It's not talking about humanity. It's talking about this world system, the world's philosophy. Everything in this world is contrary to God. That's the world. And that's what tempts us. It says in 1 John 2:15, John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of this world. Let me test your Bible knowledge. There was a man who was a fellow laborer with Apostle Paul, who served him on his first, I believe, second missionary journey. But the last one, the scripture says, he forsook Paul, having loved this present world. Who was that? Demas. Demas, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9, Paul was speaking to Timothy. He said, Timothy, do thy diligence to come unto me shortly. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. This world lured him away from the ministry. I know many Christians who are once sitting right where you're at, serving the Lord in the church, and now doing nothing, involved in this world, because the world lured them out to the world and to itself, and now they've forsaken the ministry. Interesting, the word Demas, you know what the word Demas means? Popular. Demas wanted to be popular in this world, so he forsook the ministry so he'd be popular. The world can lure you from God. It's the first source of temptation. The second one, the temptation from the devil. That's the prince. The temptation from the devil. Verse 2, ye walked according to the prince of the power of the air. That's Satan himself. Satan tempts us. We know he tempted Eve in the garden and tempted Jesus Christ in the wilderness. Interesting. Where was, I already gave it to you, where was Eve at when she was tempted? In a perfect place. There was no sin, there was no wrong, it was a perfect place. Yet in that perfect place, temptation. Where was Christ at when he was tempted? In the wilderness where there's nothing else. So no matter where you are, in the best of the place, the worst of the place, you can experience temptation, because chances are Satan can be there. So temptation. The devil tempted Eve in the garden, and also Jesus in the wilderness. Number three, the third source. The first one is the world. The second one is Satan, the prince of the power of the air. The third one is the flesh. Temptation comes from our flesh. Our conversation and time pass in the lust of our flesh. That's that part of us that pulls us from God. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other. In other words, many people, sometimes you've heard of monks, they go out in the monasteries, get away from the world, and they think, by there I will not have any temptation. Lo and behold, Satan can be there. But even Satan's not there, because Satan's not omnipresent, only God is. They always have their flesh. There's a time on this earth of 1,000 years that Satan will not be here, called the millennial reign of Christ. Satan is bound in the bottomless pit during that time. Yet there will be sin. You know why? Because men still have the flesh. So the three sources, the world which we live, the devil which we battle, and the flesh which we have, all three of those are the source of the flesh. So we saw the definition. We saw the source. Number three, the reasons for temptation. The reason for temptation. Interesting, God can remove all temptation, but he does not. He allows us to be tempted. Why? First of all, A, is a test of our love and loyalty to God. Temptation is a test of our love and loyalty to God. We cannot say we love someone until we have made hard choices on their behalf. Similarly, we cannot say we love God unless we have said no to persistent temptation. Our response to temptation is a barometer of our love for God. Our response to temptation is a barometer of our love for God. Many of you know the verse I've mentioned many times. In John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. In other words, the temperature of love is measured on the thermometer of obedience. How much you love God, be measured how much you obey God. And so basically, when God allows temptation, he's testing you. Who do you love the most? You or yourself. Yourself or God. One of our first steps in handling temptation is to see it as an opportunity to prove my love for God. Number two, we prove our love and loyalty to God by saying yes to him and no to temptation. We say we prove our love to God by saying yes to him and no to temptation. No phrase I heard one time, it sat with me, I never forgot it. Go ahead, please. When you're tempted, there's only two choices on the shelf. Pleasing God or pleasing self. If God's your choice, you'll rejoice. If self's your choice, if you choose yourself, you shall lose. But if you choose God, you shall rejoice. They said again, there's two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. If self you choose, you will lose. If God's your choice, you'll rejoice. So every temptation, ask yourself, who do I love the most? Me or God? It's a test. So many of us fail the test because we love ourselves more than we love the Lord and give in to something we want to do. The second reason for temptation. The first one is the test of our love and loyalty to God. The second one, temptation is God's character development program. Temptation is God's character development program. It is the curriculum he uses in our lives to test it for our character. Number one, our temptation are used by God to help bring us to spiritual maturity. Our temptations are used by God to help bring us to spiritual maturity. Someone said this, talent is formed in solitude, but character in the storms of life. Talent is formed in solitude, but character in the storms of life. If you heard me say many times, smooth sailing never made a good sailor. It's the storms of life, difficult as life, that makes a good sailor. And God will use our temptation to bring us to spiritual maturity. Number two, temptation is used to expose our weaknesses. Temptation is used to expose our weaknesses. If you would please turn, keep your finger in Corinthians, please. We'll come back to that eventually. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8, please. The fifth book of the Bible. Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 8. God will use temptation to expose your weaknesses. Many times we don't know how weak we are until we're tempted. And it exposes things about us that we did not know. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2. This was at the end of their 40 years of wandering through the wilderness by Israel. And that's what God said to them, why he allowed them to go through the wilderness for 40 years. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, please. God said, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." First of all, to humble thee, burrito, and to prove. It means to test thee. Why? To know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Look up here. God does not test us to find out something about us. He's omniscient. He knows everything about us. He tests us for you to find something about yourself. He tested them. He proved them to find, so they find out what's in their heart. Many times there's weakness deep down inside we don't know about. So God says, okay, he allows temptation to bring that to the forefront. Someone said this, temptations discover what we are. I like it, don't you? Temptations discover what we are. The Israelites did not know how rebellious they were until they got hungry. Temptation brought out their impurities to the surface. Number one, temptations are used by God to help us bring us to spiritual maturity. Temptation is used to expose our weaknesses. And number three, God's purpose is to conform us to the image of His Son. God's purpose is to conform us to the image of His Son. To accomplish this, our character deficiencies, our sins, must be brought to the surface so we can be changed. So he allows temptation to bring them to the surface so we can deal with them and become more like Christ. Go to Proverbs, please. Let go of Deuteronomy. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17. Here's an interesting verse. Proverbs 17, verse 3. Right after Psalms, you open your book, Bible in the middle. Usually it falls open to the book of Psalms. Right after that is the book of Proverbs, written by Solomon, the wisest man, humanly speaking, that ever lived. Proverbs 17, verse 3. Look what it says here. Proverbs 17, verse 3. It said, "The finding pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts." What it's saying here is that a silversmith or goldsmith, to purify the metal they work with, the silver or gold, they would use it with a finding pot or a furnace. They bring that gold or silver to a liquid form. And by doing so, all the impurities would come to the top. They scrape it off, make it more valuable. My friend, the finding pot for your heart and the furnace for your heart is God. And God will use temptation to bring impurities to the top. I remember this, what comes to mind for me, back in the 70s, I worked for the telephone company. I was a cable splicer. And many times we had to splice big cables together. And by doing so, once you spliced all the wires together, you had to cover it with a lead sheath. You split it right down the center and covered it. On the ends, it applied to the cable itself by lead. So what we'd have to do is we'd have to get a propane tank and a Bunsen burner and stick bars of lead in the pot and heat it up to brought to a liquid form. And when it did, though, the bar itself looked so shiny and pure, all the impurities, the lead, would come to the top. We had to scrape it off and throw it to the side so we can use it. The reason why, if it had impurities in it, once you used it and dried, many times leave holes in it. And water would get in and put the cable out, no more phone service. So God, what he does, he allows temptation of life to bring your impurities to the top, to expose them. So by his grace and the help of his Holy Spirit, you can move them out of your life and become more like Christ. God's purpose to conform you to the image of Christ. So next time you're tempted, remember, God's testing my loyalty. Who do I love the most? Me or God? God's allowing this to develop character in me by exposing my faults, my flaws, that I might change and be more like his Son, Jesus. Number four. We've looked at the definition. Going further, look up here, please. See how well you're listening. Don't look at your notes. What's the definition of temptation? First of all, temptation is not sin. But temptation is the solicitation and enticement to sin. Next, what's the source of temptation? There were three of them. The world, the devil, and the flesh. The reasons for temptation, there were two of them. The first one we talked about is God's character development program in our lives. And of course, the first one was to test our loyalty and our love. Every time I'm tempted, God's testing me. Do I love David Peterson the most, or I love him the most? And how I respond to temptation will prove which one I love the most. So number four, the last one. Let's look at the facts about temptation. The facts about temptation. Go with me to our verse we originally started with. We read together 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There are four, he gives us three facts about temptation, which is important for every child of God to understand. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Look at it again. I'll read it. You follow me. Paul said, "There hath no temptation taken us, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." So first of all, letter A, temptation is common to all men. Temptation is common to all men. The word common means after the manner of men, that which is human. There is no temptation taking you but such as common to all men. Everybody experiences temptation. You're tempted not because you're evil. You're tempted because you're human. Remember, Christ was tempted. His humanity was tempted. Doesn't mean you're evil or bad. This means you're human. Christian, the temptation you have or are experiencing is common to all men. It is normal. It is human. So nobody can say, people don't know what I'm going through. Everybody knows what you're going through. They may not be tempted the same area you are, but they are tempted. It's common to all men. Every one of us are tempted. It's common to all men. That's the first fact. The person who is no longer tempted has long since been laid to rest. Temptation is a part of the price of being human. Number two, the second fact, temptation is under God's control. It's common to all men, but it's under God's control. He goes on to say in verse 13, there's no temptation taking you, but such is common to all men. But he goes on to say, but God will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Someone said this. Every temptation has a check valve. God's faithfulness. He said, how many are glad God's faithful? Amen. When you're tempted, God's faithful. He said, though he allows it, he said, I will not allow you to be tempted above your able. No one can say, oh, I couldn't handle it. It was too much. No, it's not too much. God promised you that he'd be faithful and not allow you, not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Every temptation comes with a check valve, God's faithfulness. However, there's a part we need to play. If you would please keep it fair and clean. Go now to Romans 13, please. Romans 13. Here's something we do that almost makes temptation too much. Romans 13, verse 14. Romans 13, verse 14. God's faithful. Hallelujah. Praise his name. When I am tempted, I can count on it will not be more than I can bear, more than I can handle. That's his promise. But here's the part we need to play. Romans 13, 14. Paul said, but put ye, speaking of Christians, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and underline this latter part of the verse, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Christian, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In other words, you have a problem drinking, don't go to the bar. You have a problem drinking, don't hang around those who drink. You're making provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust. You have a problem with certain sweet, don't buy it and put it in your refrigerator. You're making provision for the flesh. And here's another area. I would talk to dads here, and of course, all men. It could apply to women, too. Cell phones. Cell phones are wonderful. I have one carried every day with me. But you have access to the most vile, wicked stuff on the Internet through your cell phone. All pornography is at the touch of a finger by a cell phone. And many dads have sons They're involved with pornography. And yet they give them a phone that has access to it freely. Someone says, like giving your son a pornography magazine and say, take it with you every place you go, but don't look at it. Listen to me, dads. Take a cell phone. Give them one that does not have access to the Internet. They can call someone. Some can text. But keep them off the Internet. There's so much trash there. And many of you know what I'm talking about. Just by touch of the finger, you can get all kind of vile stuff. If you give them a cell phone that has access to the Internet, you're making provision for the flesh so they can fulfill the lust thereof. Many of you men know what I'm talking about. Maybe you need yourself to get rid of your cell phone. Because it has access to the flesh, and the flesh loves to fulfill itself. Next. The three C's. Temptation is common. Temptation is under God's control. And lastly, temptation comes with a companion. Temptation comes with a companion. The latter part of verse 13. Of 1 Corinthians 10. But he says, but with the temptation will also make a way to escape that you may be able to what? Bear it. The way to escape, please listen, is not escape from temptation, but escape from defeat. This word escape is a nautical term, has the idea of a ship out on the sea. The idea is to make it through a storm safely to the other side. It isn't even a way to escape the temptation. You cannot do that while you live in this world. Because we have the flesh, we have the devil, and the world we live in. It's not escape from temptation. It's escape from the defeat of temptation. That you may be able to bear. It means endure it. The escape is not from the storm. It is strength to endure the storm. The companion is strength to endure the storm. God promises that. God tells me, my temptation is common to everyone. Everybody experiences it. My temptation is under God's control. He will not allow me to be tempted above I'm able. But also with temptation is a companion. The companion is the strength I need to bear it, to endure it. One day God will take us from this world. No more temptation. How many are looking forward to that time?
Amen.
But until that time comes, count on it, you'll be tempted. So God's not going to free, you can't escape the temptation. But you can escape defeat through God's strength and endure the temptation. Look up here, please. And I'll have you turn to one more verse just a moment. Again, I want you to understand this, that temptation. We talk about four things. The definition. What's the definition? First of all, temptation is not sin. It's a solicitation or enticement to sin. The source of temptation, there were three of them. The world which we live, the devil which we battle with, and the flesh which we have. The reason for temptation, it's a test of our love and loyalty to God. It's God's character development programs, curriculum He uses to develop character in us. And the facts, the three of them, temptation is common, temptation is under God's control, and temptation comes with a companion. One more verse, we'll close. Go now to Romans chapter 6. This is our closing. Romans chapter 6. While you turn in, let's ask God to rekindle the flame of fighting temptation. So many Christians are throwing the towel. I give up. I can't handle it anymore. They give up fighting it. To defeat it, you need to understand what it is. And next time we're together, we're going to talk about how to conquer it. So please join us in 2 weeks. Please join us next week for revival, of course. But 2 weeks in the day. All right. Romans 6:23. Many of you know this verse by heart. This verse has, first of all, is bad news. Then it's good news. I use this verse this past Tuesday. We had the first chapel message in our Christian school. The very first chapel, the school asked me to bring the message to our students. It's a salvation message. Because we want to make sure every student knows Christ as Savior. Most do, possibly some do not. So they want me to give the gospel. I use this verse to do that. And try to make it very clear. Look at the verse with me. It says, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Close your Bibles, please. Look up here. Here's a comparison between two things. Don't miss it now. A comparison between wages and a gift. Wages, what are wages? There's something you earn. There's something you achieve by the deeds that you do. Many of you have wages. You get paid for your work at the job. Once a week, once every other week, once a month. But the wage that you receive because of the deeds you did for the company. The Bible says the wages of sin. What is sin? The Bible defines sin as the breaking of the transgression of God's laws. For example, many of you know the Ten Commandments. There's two of them. Thou shalt not steal. Have you ever taken something that didn't belong to you? Thou shalt not lie. You ever said something was not true? We all have. And the Bible says, because you've sinned, you broke God's laws and commandments, you've earned something from God. And because the deeds you've done, breaking God's laws, the wages of sin is death. Now, death there, in the Bible, there's two kinds of death. There's physical and the spiritual. We're all going to die one day physically. This body's going to cease. Whether by accident or someone shoots me or by old age, I'm going to die physically. And the word death in the Bible means separation. When you die, your spirit, your soul, leaves your body, separates. So the first death is separation from your spirit, from your body. The second death is once you have a separation of the physical, then you have spiritual death. Is to be cast into the lake of fire. That's the second death. That's separation from God. So the first death, my soul separates from my body. If I'm saved, absent from the body is what? Present with the Lord. But if you're not saved, you experience the second separation, and that's from God forever in a place called hell. That's the wage of your sin. That's what you've earned because the deeds you've done contrary to God's word. That's bad news. But, this is my part. I love the second part. It's a comparison between a wage and a gift. Now, a gift is something given to you freely. Wage, you earn. A gift is free. A gift is something purchased at somebody else's expense but given to you freely. The gift of God is what? Eternal life. I like gifts from people. I always like them. I'm not trying to hint like that. I'm just not like them. What I'm trying to say is God has a gift for you. It's called eternal life. And that's his gift because he purchased it at the cross of Christ in the person of his son. He paid the price and he offers it to you freely. Now, it's not cheap. It's the most expensive item ever purchased. It cost God the death of his own son. But he said it's free to you. But the gift has no value or any effect upon your life unless you receive it. Christ died. Amen. He died for our sins. Amen. But until we receive him as our Savior, it has no effect upon our lives. So, my friend, the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God, the eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Have you ever received God's gift? Let's bow together, please. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, please. This morning I've been speaking to those of you who know Christ to help get a biblical understanding about temptation. Again, the next time we're together and I'm preaching, we'll talk about how to have victory or conquer temptation. But so many of us live in defeat and failure because we just throw up our hands and say, I can't handle this. But we have a wonderful promise of God that temptation is common to all men. It's always under his control. Ask for his help. And purpose to not make provision for the flesh, that you can fulfill the lust thereof. But if you're today and you never trusted Christ, my friend, you will never have victory over temptation. The victory is through Christ. Outside of Christ, you can't help do nothing but sin. Temptation comes, you always give in without Jesus Christ. However, when you receive Christ, you receive eternal life. Because he is life. If you never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you never received the gift of the God, which is eternal life, why not do it right now? Right where you sit, talk to God and place your trust, your dependence upon him to be your Savior. And he'll give you that free gift at his expense. You say, Pastor, that makes sense to me. I've never trusted Christ. I don't know heaven's my home, but I like to have that assurance. Why not tell God that? Why not right where you at? Talk to God in your own thoughts. Maybe to say something like this. Just say, Dear God of heaven, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. And because I've sinned, I've earned punishment as a wage for the things I've done wrong. As a sinner, I cannot save myself. My works, my deeds will not pay for my sin, because the penalty for my sin is death. But God, I believe that Jesus Christ paid that penalty for me. I believe when Christ died, He died for me, in my place, my substitute. He paid my debt. He was buried, and I believe He rose again. And right here today, realizing I cannot save myself, I'm trusting Christ to save me. I'm trusting Him to forgive me and to give me that free gift of eternal life. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, my friend, did you trust Christ as your Savior today? Did you just talk to Him and place your dependence upon Him to be your Savior? If you did, heaven's your home. That's His promise to you. But I'd like to know if anyone did that today. I'd like to pray for those who made that decision. In one moment, I ask for those who made that decision to raise your hand. Let me explain to you, raise your hand doesn't save you. I'd like to pray for you. My prayer for you doesn't save you. But I'm going to do this with heads bowed and eyes closed. No one to put on the spot. No one to be embarrassed. But if what I said made sense to you and you prayed to receive Christ as your Savior, no one look around. Would you simply raise your hand to indicate you did that so I can pray for you? No one at all? Pastor, here's my hand. I trust in Christ. Would you pray for me this morning? I made that decision. I received His free gift. Would you pray for me today? You know it all? Father in heaven, I hope that means each one here has already trusted Christ and heaven's our home. But Father, we're focusing on an area which we all struggle with, temptation. I pray, Father, each one here will take the notes they received and filled out home with them and revisit the scripture verses and gain a good understanding of what temptation is and what it does in our lives. But Father, purpose to be with us next time we're together to learn how to conquer temptation. We ask all this in Christ's precious name. Amen.